Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sachs, Jamie Brand leading the charge tonight, and there is so much to talk about when Tottenham are concerned. Obviously, the inquest begins now, and you, as always, can have your say, and you always join us. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Love Sport giving the fans a chance to have their say, and we've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Well, we are going to be talking about that game with RB Leipzig. Where does the blame lay? That is a big theme tonight, and it has been toxic on social media yet again, Spurs season, bringing in Jose Mourinho. Where does it go for now for the guys? Obviously, we have to start with the defeat in Germany this week. 3-0 on the night, 4-0 on aggregate. Ricky, where does the inquest begin?
God, I don't know where to start. I mean, again, with Spurs, how many times have we said it this season or throughout other different seasons in charge of the club, that the amount of individual errors we make, the continuous mistakes from players, there is not a head coach or manager in the world that could win a trophy or have sustained success with this group of players. Yeah. Not Jose Mourinho, not any manager in the world, because the amount of mistakes we make on a game-by-game basis doesn't give Tottenham a hope in hell's chance. It really, really doesn't. So until the club are able to, as we keep saying this word, overhaul or significantly change the squad, I don't really see much changing until that happens, Chaz. And that's obviously really sad. Don't get me wrong, Jose Mourinho is at fault. Daniel Levy's at fault. Pochettino is at fault. This is a combination. It's not just the blame on one person. I'm sure we'll get into it during the show. This is many, many multiple factors, which is why Spurs find themselves where they are today. And it's very, very worrying. And the decline is rapid.
The decline is rapid, Jamie.
Yes.
We only get a brief amount of time before we do the show, giving the listeners a little bit of context and seeing your face talking to you. I just said, Jamie, yeah, what are we going to talk about? And you said to me, you went, last week we thought it was rock bottom.
And then
the game in Germany happened. So where are we at now, Jamie?
Well, we of course we said we were choosing which game we were going to prioritise. And unfortunately, we've only come away with 1 point from Burnley.
So we chose neither.
So exactly. I mean, it looks like we did choose neither, but unfortunately, this has been a long time coming, and I think really getting knocked out of the Champions League, and it feels as though this could be a long time before we see us playing that competition again. I think it kind of now realised how much work there is required on this squad. Watching the game, I thought it was really disappointing. There just seemed like a lack of fight in this team. There are players in that team that do care about the club, but there are a lot of players that just don't seem to care as much as they do. So there is a lot of work to be done with this squad now. Obviously, I've spoken about Tottenham 2.0, and we spoke about it in the summer. But I did not realise quite how big a job there is to do now. I really think that there is really like five or six players possibly in this team that you'd say are good enough long-term for Spurs.
Yeah, and maybe the rebuild is really and truly at the fore now, seeing just how big a job Jose and the board have this summer in front of them. We always now go to a call, and you can call on 0208 7020 558. This time, Cody joins us all the way from Pennsylvania in the United States. Such a following there for Last Word on Spurs. Cody, really appreciate you calling in tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. I know you want to talk about the defeat out in Germany.
Yeah, let me just say this. I think the injuries are a real thing. You know, our squad, our best players are missing right now. And our defense as a whole, I think it's lacking intensity. I think a lot of the players just, we don't have anybody who wants to stick their leg in. I think we need to see some more guys get nasty. I think we're missing that factor right now. I like it from Lo Celso. He seems like he's the one that's just, he's running out there 24/7. The Ndombele stuff, it's true. I think you look at him and he's hobbling all over the place, and I think he's amazing when he has the ball. But you can't play a guy who's not giving it his all, and I think we're missing that from a lot of guys right now.
I think the defence kind of perfectly summarises our squad at the moment. You've got the likes of Javit Tanganga, who we see is going to be a really good player one day, but he's not really at his peak yet. Eric Dier's kind of adjusting back into centre-back. And of course, Toby Alderweireld looks like he's past his best. So there's kind of that kind of array across the squad of players that aren't no longer as good as they once were, and players that are kind of yet to reach their peak. And unfortunately, we just don't have enough players that you really feel are at the peak of their powers. And unfortunately, defensively, it's been a real, real mess this season.
Cody, it's been a real big mess since, obviously, Jose took over as well. And continuing on, not Jose's fault, but Spurs have conceded the most goals just under Aston Villa since Jose took over in all competitions. What do you make of that? Because he was brought in to shore up that back line. Is it just he hasn't got the players in the squad to work with?
I don't even think it's on Jose. I think half of it is mistakes. I mean, I watch every single game and it's always mistakes.
Continue.
We don't know how to pass correctly.
That's the biggest problem, isn't it? And we've said it, I don't know how many years we've said this, you know, when Jason was here, he said exactly the same thing. You know, 2-3 years in a row, Tottenham are the biggest victims of their own success. They really are, or lack of success, because the amount of mistakes that we make in games is just, it's beyond laughable. Hugo Lloris, listen, don't get me wrong, he saved Tottenham on so many occasions, but to concede the two goals he did.
In the defence, I think there just doesn't seem that leadership. I mean, there always seemed in that game, there was a lot of confusion at times. And that's something we've really lacked, just someone that's going to stand up and make themselves counted as a leader. As a player, just ability-wise, we just have missed that. And that's something that I think we've really missed.
Listen, we don't want to get away from it. Of course, it's always going to be hard to go there and win. You look at, you've got Kane out, Son, Sissoko, Bergwijn, we know that. But at the same time, you know, one of the things Mourinho must have said before going out there, look, is just stay compact, no mistakes. And I do feel for Jose, because on this basis, I don't think there's anything more he can do when the players cross that white line. You know, he does put his hope in them. And to make the mistakes they do, it's beyond frustrating. But to be fair, we have been here so many times with this team, with the same group of players, and it still is not good enough. And I still think Jose Mourinho, whoever is going to be in this team, it's going to be very, very hard for him to achieve success.
Yeah, Cody, we really appreciate you giving us a call into the studio tonight, especially from America. Always good to get the callers in. You can call too, 0208 7020 558. We want to talk a little bit more about the game now, but obviously we mentioned a reaction on social media. Just through your own friends and talking to Spurs fans, what is the general consensus at the minute? Because like we said, Jamie, we thought we couldn't get worse, and here we are. And so many listener questions tonight, which we will get into, so thank you for that. But where is everyone at right now, Ricky?
I just think when we have said in the past Spurs are at a crossroads, I think, like Jamie said earlier, we have to be a bit more realistic. We're not at a crossroads. The project is dead. It's dead. There is no project. There doesn't seem to be any kind of plan whatsoever. I think when Spurs got to that Champions League final, there was never consideration that if we lost it, what were we going to do? What was the plan? Was Maurizio ever going to stay? It just feels like the club ripped up what was, you know, the 5 years of building the stadium, building the training ground, you know, trying to get a squad ready to compete for the league. And now we've kind of reset. And the reset we've done, to me, doesn't feel like we actually know where we're going. And again, I think the board to allow this squad to deteriorate how it has is unacceptable. And I think now for Daniel Levy, Enoch, this is a defining summer for them, because if they do not significantly improve this squad, which again, many will be screaming, why do you believe they will? I'm not saying I believe they will. You do feel they do not put a significant amount of money in, then I don't see where Tottenham are going. I really don't.
Well, you mentioned the board and how have they allowed this to happen, and they need to act on it. We're going to another call now, this time from Koz. And Koz, actually, you want to talk a little bit about the board, don't you?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? You okay?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good, thank
you. Hi, Koz.
Okay, I don't know. I've been waiting for this for 2 days, but I'm much calmer now. I don't even know where to start. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to talk about Enic, and I'm not even going to talk about how we're playing and so on. Just a little question and a little run. Just regarding the formation, like, basically, Mourinho's been moaning ever since Harry, Sonny got injured regarding we can't do this and we can't do that. I'll just put something across to you and you guys can give me your feedback. So Mourinho plays a 4-3-3 formation normally, yeah? We all agree on this.
Yep.
Harry got injured fairly early in his tenure. I can't even remember how many games. He might have played 5-6 games for him. Anyway, after Harry, it must have been, what, 2 months since Sonny got injured? So we had a pretty settled back line, agreed. Aurier, Toby, Tanganga,
Sanchez,
either side, right. And so on. Mm. And then also in the midfield, I don't think Winksy's been out too often. Lo Celso was out for a bit. Basically, what I'm trying to say, especially the front players. Mm. So the front three, our best front three for me might be Sonny, Kane and Bergwijn, yeah?
Yeah.
So he's been playing Bergwijn every game since he signed. He's been playing Moura every game. And now he's using Dele as a false nine. So the only problem and the issue that I think that we should have is that number nine is Harry Kane. Apart from that, the team should function normally. Mm. Tell me, please, correct me if I'm wrong with this. It should function completely normally because everyone has been playing in their positions. It's only that one position. Sonny has only missed how many games? 5 games? 6 games, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's three.
So we had Moura, Bergwijn and Son for quite a few games and we were atrocious. And ever since Mourinho's taken over, we have been terrible. Apart from Burnley, I can't even remember. First half, West Ham, his first game of the season, West Ham should have got a draw in the second half.
Yeah.
They had that disallowed goal to make it 3-2 just before they made it 3-2. Which other performance have we played half good? So yeah, I do agree with all these injuries. But guys, come on. Please, come on.
Yeah,
I don't know why everyone's backing him. I do not understand.
I think the only reason why maybe we're backing him is because it's Jose Mourinho and some.
Not just you guys.
No, I think some sentimental Spurs fans do just generally feel because it's Jose Mourinho, we have this hope.
Yeah.
That he, with all of his trophies, and I know some have said he's outdated, he's past it, that there is still that man in there that can achieve success at Tottenham. But to be fair, I mean, what I will say is that towards the end of the game where we didn't make a sub for the last 20 minutes, it did feel like to me there was a message there to the board to say, I haven't got a good enough squad. I mean, I was surprised that Troy Parrott wasn't brought on to very, very late. I haven't agreed at all with everything that Mourinho's done at Tottenham so far. But at the same time, you know, I do acknowledge, you know, the amount of injuries he's got at the moment. He's coming to a fractured squad, a broken dressing room to some degree. And, you know, can we really go through two managers in the space of a season? Are we not prepared to give him the summer and let him bring his own players in?
I will give him, personally, obviously, the summer. I reckon he'll go to October, November. But what I said, I don't know if you do remember, when he did take over, I called literally the show straight after. And I said, what on earth has happened between these two most stubborn people in football, Levy and Mourinho, Money Mourinho, who spends $200-400 million at every single club he goes to, Daniel Levy, who does not give any manager nothing. What was said in this meeting? Has Mourinho totally lost the Mourinho edge and said, you know what? Big club in London, give me $15 million a year.
Let me say to you, Koz, very quickly, I just think for me, I think the way that Levy looked at it is that he sacked Maurizio Pochettino, one of the most popular managers in the recent times at Tottenham, was loved by a lot of fans. If you're going to sack Maurizio Pochettino, you're going to have, you know, a very able and capable replacement. And I'm not sitting here saying Mourinho's a very able and capable replacement. But what I'm saying is he had to have someone lined up of some kind of reputation. And he gambled. Is it the right gamble? time will tell.
Cos, isn't the problem a little bit, we knew of these problems before Jose was here. Jamie mentioned this months and months ago. We need a rebuild, Tottenham 2.0. Maurizio said this, and we kind of saw with the form before that. It just showed how many holes were in the squad. How can we put this all on Jose's door when we go, how can we back him? Because there were a lot of problems before, wasn't there?
Charlie, it's not on Jose's door completely. This is Enic. Like, this is pure Enic, and I've been banging on for 20 years, and I mean every summer, every transfer window. Come on, you guys follow, like, see my tweets and so on, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite. It's not only on Mourinho. This is all Enic. But if I can't, how shall I say to you, I can't even be bothered to have a go about Enic. This is all on them. This is not spending for 500 days and four transfer windows. This is what happens. Listen, Liverpool, I know, great, they went out yesterday, sorry, but I'm not, I don't really follow English clubs in Europe apart from Spurs and so on, but they're going to rebuild. What's going to happen to Liverpool in the summer, guys? What do you reckon Liverpool are going to do? What do you reckon? Two, three players? Top players, yeah?
Well, every team needs to improve, don't they? Just stay ahead of the game. Every team needs to improve, but Tottenham need more than two or three, don't they? We need four, five, six, seven.
Man City, who just won the treble, was it last season? How many players did they buy? They bought Rodri, who else did they buy? This summer just gone?
I think they only bought Rodri, didn't they? It was quite, considering where City's success is, it was actually quite a summer for them.
First team player. He plays every game, yeah?
But Spurs spent the same amount of money on Ndombele and thought he was going to hit the ground running.
I think it is difficult. I mean, for me, you know, I've got mixed feelings on Enic and Daniel Levy, but I think in what we did in the summer, although, as I've always said, it wasn't quite enough, but I think it was kind of roughly what I was expecting us to do. We spent £150 million. We went and got the players that we wanted. We got Ndombele, we got Lo Celso. I think, and Ryan Sessegnon, the problem is that none of them have really ever been fit enough to kind of make that impact. And I think that how much we've spent problem. I think it's how we've spent it. I think we've made a lot of mistakes in terms of our recruitment over recent years. The likes of Nkudu, Janssen in that, Davinson Sanchez. I mean, I think he's a very good player, but £42 million, was that a wise investment? Could that have been better spent? This summer, of course, you know, although they were fantastic players, they've really had very mixed form. And unfortunately, I think kind of our recruitment and identifying players has been the thing that's cost us the most, in my opinion.
Cost us the most. Cos, we really appreciate you calling in tonight. Always good to get your points across. And you can call as well, 0208 7020 558. But you have been tweeting as well, and we're going to go to your listener questions next. Love Sport. You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sachs and Jamie Brann, to be fair to them, they want the last word because they don't want to keep talking about what they're seeing on the pitch at a minute, but fair play to them. They are, as are you, and you can tweet in tonight and join the show. Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. But you have been getting in touch with a lot of your questions aimed at the board, aimed at Levy, aimed at Jose, and what you're seeing from the players. And we're going to go to a couple of those now. So thank you so much for getting in touch. The first one, this one comes from Reggie Moore, saying, is anyone really surprised? We're only getting worse and it will continue to get worse before Jose leaves us in a bitterly, bitterly way. It was stupid not to back Poch when the team needed it and we was at our peak.
Yeah, look, the problem is, I think when Pochettino peaked, it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And it was difficult because at that time, you know, we were building this stadium. I'm sure when Pochettino took the job, he would have been told, look, whilst we're building the stadium, you're probably going to have limited transfer funds. So he would have known that. And I think he needed to be clever and smarter. Spurs, as a recruitment, needed to be more intelligent and finding players. And unfortunately, we didn't do that. I think a lot of Liverpool's signings, they are all very intelligent. Robertson, they got Matip on a free transfer. They got Wijnaldum for fairly cheap. They got Salah, who was relatively, although he played at Mane as well, but with Salah, you know, he was relatively unknown. Although he had played for Chelsea, you know,
let's not forget they sold Coutinho to make those signings as well.
I think that's where we have also made a mistake in terms of Pochettino. I'm not sure he liked getting rid of players and letting key players go, and maybe that was an issue that we didn't quite move players on enough. to go and raise those funds. But look, we were trying to build a stadium, and it's difficult because when at the end of the day, football is a business. Unless you're a Manchester City and you've got billions of pounds to spend whilst you're building a stadium, then you can go and do it. But unfortunately, Spurs, we are run like a business, and I understand it.
Well, this one, back onto the team on the pitch and Jose, and the question comes from Derek L saying, is Jose purposely setting up the wrong team and tactics to force the board into the transfer methods?
I think the board are acutely aware that there needs to be money to be spent on the squad this summer, regardless if Tottenham get in the Champions League or not, which, to be fair, at the moment looks very, very highly unlikely, just to say that. At the same time, you got that feeling, I think, towards the end of that game where you looked at his bench and the fact that he wasn't making a substitution with 20 minutes to go, there was no Troy Parrott. I think Jedson came on fairly late. It did feel like he was kind of putting a message towards the ball saying, my tools aren't good enough. But we knew that anyway. We knew in January. How many times did we say in January, Spurs needed a striker? We didn't get a striker. We signed Steven Bergwijn. Steven Bergwijn looks like he's going to be out now for a long time. Mm. If he's out for the season, you know, Jose thinks he's going to be out for the season. I think he'll probably be back before that because I think Jose has got this habit, and I will say this, he has got this habit of making things a lot more worse than what they truly are, because what Jose likes to do, and this is no dig at him, what is it, dig at him, to be honest, is that he wants to portray the worst possible picture to give him the best excuse. And you will watch this a lot with him. His press conferences are all about getting the excuses out of the way first before he answers any questions that could be deemed as negative at him. And we're not used to this as Spurs fans because we had 4 or 5 years of real stability under Maurizio Pochettino, who, to be fair to him, to his credit, he would always try and adapt and find a way. And Maurizio had his faults as well. Pochettino was stubborn in terms of substitutions. We used to sit here week upon week in games that we lost. I always say, Poch doesn't change the games till late.
Yeah.
We're doing the same with Mourinho. Mm. But I think the difference is that, I will say this, with Pochettino, he was the right man at the time that gave Spurs the platform to build the stadium and to build the training ground. But we, at the end of that 5 years, didn't have anything on the pitch. And I think the board felt, OK, we need to win something. Pochettino, for me, offered his hand when he was going to say that in the Champions League final before that, on the pre-match press conference, you know, this might be my last game, you know, I may leave the club. If you're going to do that, for me, there is no real way back, because he offered his resignation. He was, I think, in himself there, looking for a way out. And it is sad. I would love to have seen him, you know, win trophies at Tottenham. But the reality is now we've got Jose Mourinho, and I think we have to come together over the summer to give him an opportunity. However long that lasts, honestly, Chaz, I don't know.
Well, we've got questions, obviously, asking will he be back, some transfer methods, and we're going to stay on that very quickly because we have got another call into the studio, and this time it is your tradition. It is Adrian's corner. Adrian, and I know you want to talk a little bit about the club's transfer policy.
Good evening, guys.
Hey, Adrian.
Good evening.
Yeah, I want to talk about transfer policy and transfer rumours linking players with Spurs, you know, because what I find incredibly frustrating is when before they talked about us having an ageing squad, well, basically it has been reduced because the three older players really are Lloris, Toby and Yan now. The average of the squad has actually dropped. But I get frustrated and angry when we're linked with players like Willian at Chelsea, who's 31 years of age. And the reason for that is, like you guys harped on a bit earlier about forward thinking and transfer policies, surely if a club is sensible, a manager who's running the club should have a spreadsheet in front of him. It should give him the list of all the players in each position for the club, twice over, obviously, two for each position. And beside that, there should be his age, the age of that player. Because the last thing you want is like a 29-year-old left-back, and then you go and buy another 29-year-old left-back. You know, if you've got a 29-year-old left-back, you want to buy someone who's about 24 or 25, don't you? Otherwise, you can get a manager come in, he'd go, oh, I fancy this player and that player because they're old and experienced. And when a manager like Josie goes after 2 or 3 years or how long he stays, you end up with an imbalanced squad of players that are all old and you can't sell them on, because no one wanted to buy Toby, did they, when he's even coming up to 30? Because you don't get that with Real Madrid and Barcelona. They don't do that. They have a totally different philosophy. They'll either, if there really is a really good young player like Mbappe out there, they will go and pay a fortune for him. But other than that, they tend to go for the steady 26, 27-year-old they know they can give a 5-year contract to. What do you guys think?
I think with Willian, to be honest, I feels like that one that might actually be believable just because he's worked under Jose Mourinho before and he's a guy that Jose Mourinho can trust. I think that's what Mourinho likes. He likes players that that will work really hard
trust
for him.
Trust is massive for him.
He can trust. So for me, I actually do see Willian as being a plausible one. Whether I actually agree with that, I think that's probably a different matter because
what are you making the guru? Come on.
No, I mean, I was going to ask Adrian what you think of, you know, the potential of a sporting director coming to Tottenham. I think we look back at when we had Paul Mitchell here, you know, as well as the man that masterminded the signings of Dele Alli, yeah. Toby Alderweireld, Heung-min Son, good players. And you look at maybe when we didn't have a sporting director or football.
In fairness, yeah. I just say Dele Alli was, I think he'll
David Plea, more David, yeah, Plea, David you could Plea, say.
And it is quite fitting this week, Adrian, and for the guys in the studio, Paul Mitchell, who is now at RB Leipzig, and it's just showing
doing
maybe,
wonders there.
Yeah, a club that's only been formed 10 years. Mm. Does it highlight there, Adrian, for you, how much, you know, they do need a sporting director?
Hitchin is supposed to be an expert on French football. We've had Nkudu, Nzi, didn't we?
Ndombele.
And now we've got Ndombele. Now, Ndombele could turn out to be a dad, yeah. One of them players like Varane when he went to Man United. He just doesn't work.
This was a guy also, let's not forget, in the summer.
Oh, sorry.
In the summer, Adrian, you know, Ndombele, I don't think we can forget. This guy was, I think, widely wanted. Some would say we're adding up at Tottenham. Yeah. The reality is Tottenham, you know, were the team that put the offer in, offered him a massive wages. I think the guy was, you know, wanted to come and play for Maurizio Pochettino. That's the key here. You know, he sold him the dream, came to the stadium, saw Maurizio, you know, that was the big thing for him. If Mourinho had been the manager, probably, let's be honest about it, he wouldn't be here.
That's what he means when Daniel Levy said in the minutes in the
You know, but with Ndombele, who's also, when he played for Lille and other teams, he was playing in a midfield three, not in a two. He's not even settled into the team and he's expected to play in a two. I mean, like, I know, all right, his quality, he should be able to do the job. You know, worst case scenario with Ndombele, if the fitness and science regime now doesn't work, the last result really is doing what Italy did with Pirlo, have two players around him that are doing the graft, or to use a more contemporary example, how Barcelona utilised Busquets, because he's not getting any younger and they have players around him that do most of the graft and they let him do what he's good at, you know. But the jury's out on Ndombele at the moment. He uses class. He's got all the class and the skill in the world. No one doubts his undoubted talent, but we don't know. And we're all concerned. We all want him to succeed and do well. Obviously, he was paid a lot of money for him. Otherwise, we're going to have to take a cut on him and sell him on, aren't we?
Yeah, it's such a strange time, obviously, and Jose not holding back in his assessment of him on the weekend. Adrian, we really appreciate you calling. It's one call we always look forward to. Adrian there giving us his take on the club's transfer policy. Do they need a sporting director? Like Ricky just said, it's a stressful show, but you can take the stress out of managing your business with Churchill. Churchill's standard policy provides 1 million of public liability cover with access to our 24/7 legal helpline. Not to mention a range of add-ons, including cover for your tools, business equipment, personal accident and employer's liability insurance. Visit the public liability page on churchill.com.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Jamie Brown. Well, we're not feeling good about what we're seeing on the pitch, but it's always good to see these two in the studio, missing our other guys as well. The crazy train is in action. We are going to be carrying on with your listener questions, but we're still talking factors from that game with RB Leipzig, and we want to talk about a certain World Cup winner now, because he's provided Spurs with many moments, but just wasn't at the races on the day, was he, Ricky?
No, he wasn't. And Hugo Lloris is always a debate that comes up on our show, on many different shows out there, if he's good enough for Tottenham, how many years he's got left. I mean, I said, I think during the week on our other show, that Spurs have got more pressing issues than finding a replacement for Hugo Lloris.
Definitely.
But I say that. I said that during the week, and I look at it and I think, God, that game. You know, I do. It does worry me, Jay, though, long term, how many years Lloris has got left at the top level when with Tottenham, because we've seen this on so many big occasions for us that he's let us down. And don't get me wrong, he has made some great saves for us. I'm not going to sit here and say he hasn't done. But to make those mistakes, you know, the first one, I know it's from distance. I mean, I think Rich Lee was here in a week saying that with that kind of save, it's one that if he makes a save, it's a great save. I don't know. For me, I still think Hugo should be putting that one around the post. He gets a good, decent hand to it. The second one, I always think, again, near post goalkeepers, they shouldn't be beaten from there. But this, again, I think is, again, mentality, it's concentration. He's a fabulous shot stopper. Hugo Lloris is a fabulous shot stopper. That's never been in question. The issue has always been his kicking, and it's always been his concentration from long distance. And that's the two things I've always let him down. I do worry with Hugo, is he coming towards an end? But the problem you've got with Tottenham is that we still need 6 or 7 players maybe before you even look at the goalkeeper.
Jamie, that's why it's called a painful rebuild, isn't it? Because even Jason, who was on the show, you know, it's not one position. There's a few holes here.
Jason said 17 players, didn't he?
I think this is where it's going to take a couple of years. And I've kind of realised that it's going to take a couple of windows because Spurs aren't going to be able to fix all their problems in one window. We thought we'd be able to do it in the summer. We were nowhere near getting to that kind of stage that we wanted to. So in terms of priorities, Lloris is probably quite way down the list. But with Lloris, it is frustrating because you've got such a mixed keeper there, because sometimes I think we saw against Man City so many occasions he saved us, but there was of course the game at RB Leipzig, he was so poor and he's let two big goals in, and unfortunately that's something you've got to decide with Lloris, whether you know you want to stick with him, but you've got those inconsistencies. But as you said, I do think that there are more pressing issues in the squad at the moment.
Is it another a little bit like what you said with Maurizio? That sentiment is still there from the Tottenham fans. He is a World Cup winner. Yeah. He's captain. Yeah. What he's achieved for the club. So maybe he does get a little bit more leeway in that sense as well.
See, the thing about leeway is that I think Mourinho, he is so ruthless that he will not allow this to happen. But the question I've got really, and Jay, I suppose what one we've never really touched upon, is that we're sitting here saying it's going to take at least maybe 2 to 3 windows to get Spurs back into a position where we can even challenge again like we was. I think Spurs need to actually have 2 or 3 windows to get back to where he was 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah. That's how bad I think it's got. I think the decline is so rapid.
I think it's not a case of can we get to Liverpool's level. It's kind of getting back to the level that we once were in terms of competing for
and
the top four,
this is what happens. This is what happens when you allow a squad to deteriorate over the course of not spending over 2 windows. And again, I put Daniel Levy into that. I put Pochettino into that. I know we're building a stadium. The most important thing, Jay, is success on the pitch. It is.
I 100%. I agree that, and unfortunately we needed that stadium in order to compete, in order to be able to get to that level. Now obviously it depends on the you need to have that success now, but you just hope that now we're in that stadium that we will start to see changes. I think that we did. I mean I know, as I said, lots of people would disagree. I think £150 million was a show of ambition from the club, but
I think the hard thing is now, Jay, is that you look at it. Sorry, I know, Chaz. We're going to put a question in, but the thing that worries me now is we've got the stadium, we've got the training ground, we haven't got the most important thing, the players. Who's playing in it? Well, this is the massive problem.
It is a massive problem. And let's move on then to the board, because we're talking a little bit about that, and so many questions for tonight's show are about the board. I'm going to kind of throw in 3 questions, but they're all really revolving around the same thing. The first time comes from John Wardle saying, without using foul and abusive language, really appreciate that, John, first off, I simply cannot find the words to express my disgust at the way Enoch and Levy have allowed the club to get into this sorry state. Perhaps the panel could find some time to tell us what has gone on.
I'll tell you what we should do. We should get the West Ham fan show on and tell them, let them tell us what they think about their owners. You know, that's the kind of... Although
Jamie coming in with a shots fired right there.
But no, I understand. And I understand people's frustrations. I do get that. But I look at the way
that... Charlton might agree with you on that one as well.
Exactly.
In a minute.
There's Charlton. And of course, we saw what happened with Bury and their owners. That's, you know... They've done nothing like that. They've, in terms of what they've built for us, they've kind of left the stadium behind, these fantastic facilities. So when people do get their wish and Enoch finally leave and sell the club, we're going to have a really strong foundations for success. So I know in terms of on the pitch success, it has not been good enough under Daniel Levy and Enoch. But in terms of what they're going to leave behind, I think it's, you know... Clubs will be envious of that.
Well, I know you feel really strong about this, Jamie, obviously launching a staunch defence there of the board and mentioning other clubs. But it's so true when you do compare it to those other teams. I'm actually on the same page as you there. But let me fire 2 questions before you come back. This one coming from @TottenhamBoxing, saying, did Enoch and Levy create this downfall deliberately, as everything has been their choice? No signings for 500 days is on them. No signing of a striker this season is on them. Not backing Pochettino after finishing second is on them. The second question from @Hetspurs, saying, can we now start turning on Levy, because I've had enough of blaming everyone else.
But I think this has always been the case, that over the last 6 to 9 months we've questioned Maurizio Pochettino, we've questioned Jose Mourinho, but maybe there hasn't been enough spotlight on the board. And I think the voices are getting louder, and I think to some degree it's right. And I think, Jay, you make very valid points. You know, for what they've done off the pitch, you can't fault them. You cannot fault them. We've got one of the best stadiums in the world. It really and truly is. We've got one of the best training grounds in the world, if not the best, right? I hear all that. But none of it to me matters. You know, we can have all the foundation in the world, but if you haven't got the tools to use that stadium or to use the training ground, then do you not agree? What's the point a little bit?
Look, I know people are going to absolutely hate me for what I'm going to say, but look, at the end of the day, football, it does come that it's a business. It's just that it's that 60,000 people go there and it's kind of a matter of life and death for them. And that's the thing. And fans only see that.
But you can understand that when you're paying your season ticket money.
I think we were in such a unique situation in terms of we were going through this stadium build. We've spent £1.2 billion. It's very difficult to go out and spend the sort of outlays that Man City and Liverpool were putting down to build their teams. It was always going to be... That's a risky business to go and spend that sort of extra money once you're already spending £1.2 billion on a stadium.
But can I just say one quick thing, Chase? I also think it's about smart recruitment. And I look at someone like Leicester, for example. Sure. Leicester have a plan. Wolves, they have a plan. They have a philosophy. They go out and identify players. Have Tottenham got that now? Daniel Levy is now back in control of the transfers, Jay.
Well, that's maybe where I would criticise Daniel Levy in terms of he needs to bring in someone that's able to come in and help the manager. Mm-hmm. We saw that maybe briefly under Pochettino with Paul Mitchell. And for whatever reasons he left, whether it was Daniel Levy's fault that Paul Mitchell left. But that's something that maybe does need to change. And I say maybe. I do think it definitely does need to change because, as you've said, we have spent a fair amount of money. It's just that we have not spent it wisely. And we've had too many players come in and they've not hit the ground running. I mean, you look at the two club record signings in Ndombele. You've got, of course, Lo Celso. He took his time, but fantastic player now. And then the other one, Davinson Sanchez. And, you know, for £42 million, as I said, you question whether that's money that's been well invested because he hasn't really kind of hit the heights of a player that what you're paying for with that money.
Yeah, it's a hot debate in a minute. And obviously the board makes people, you know, want to get their views off their chest and they can. 0208 7020 558. And we go to a caller now. Jordan, I know you want to talk about the board as well. Where do you stand on it? We've lost Jordan there. We're going to try and get Jordan back. A really poor line, Jordan, if you can hear us. Try call us back. We just lost him there. Before we go back to the board, is there any way, Ricky, because some fans, if I can maybe, or shoot me down if you will, please do, can we put a positive spin on this at all? Because we saw what happened with Chelsea when they had that season out of no European competition. They come 10th. And there is a question here tonight from Stuart saying, would a season of no European football help us out next season? Because, yes, it would be harder to buy top players, but we then can concentrate on the league and the domestic cups. Is there anything in this?
I mean, if you look at this squad...
No fan wants to see European football, I understand.
If you look at this squad right now, to me... If they're not in Europe next season, do I see it going any further than I do now? I would say marginally.
That would massively hit the budget in terms of what we've had to spend.
And that's me being kind. I just look at this squad and it's still in areas just simply not good enough. It's not good enough. You cannot rely on one senior striker in Harry Kane because, to be fair, he's not giving Troy Parrott a run. Spurs, for me, again, a lot of it is going to come down to this summer's recruitment. And I think, again, as Jay said, it's not going to be done all over one window. But if we do go out and see some real ambition, and I get it, Ndombele was big ambition. So was Lo Celso. I totally understand that. I totally get that. They were two ambitious players. But at the same time, Spurs' biggest issue for me was not building on top of that, building around it. We always needed a second striker. We never got a second striker. Yeah. And I think Spurs, again, are going to be in a situation where in the summer... They're going to have to make a decision on Ndombele for me. I think, does Mourinho want to work with this player?
That soon, one season in,
look at the situation at the moment with Mourinho and Ndombele.
I'd be really disappointed if they gave up on Ndombele in one window. But he's got to do so much more because we are, as fans, we're so disappointed. And that's my whole point about, you know, does spending, it doesn't always equal success you've gone and spent on £60 million, which is what all us fans wanted to see. But it doesn't look like it's been very... You know, clever recruitment at the moment. But in terms of long term, I do think that Ndombele, and I hope he will come good. We'll have to see.
Well, let's keep on this recruitment a little bit, and maybe what the plans are for the summer. But just because there are a lot of questions in about players arriving and certain players leaving, and we're going to kick that off next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sacks and Jamie Brown. What a show we're having, talking everything from the fallout of that defeat with RB Leipzig, looking at Jose, looking at the board, the chairman, the fans, where do they lay the blame? And we will be looking at that clash with Man United, Jose's return on the weekend, and they are currently 5-0 up, is it, Jamie?
5-0, yeah, they've won.
It is over, so a lot of momentum, but maybe playing into Spurs hands a little bit, because obviously playing tonight rather than earlier this week. And you can get in touch tonight, tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. I want to stay on recruitment and plans for the summer. Will Jose be back? Because there's a lot of questions, and we'll start with this first one from Noah DeSantis saying, guys, how prepared should we be for the summer? Is it going to be a really sad time for the club? No doubt some players will want to stay, but will they?
I think for me, the biggest hope and optimism I could get would be Spurs to do something, as I said, bring in a director of football, sporting director, give us some hope that there is some planning going ahead.
Yeah.
Please. And that's regardless of Mourinho's long-term future or if he's here for the short term. Give us some hope that there is going to be some new and fresh direction, because at the moment, it feels the club lack identity, both on and off the pitch. And even when you go to that stadium now, don't get me wrong, listen, I love the stadium. I do love the stadium, but we've upgraded to corporate, and then you see what you've got on the pitch. And Jay's right, listen, we've got great foundations, but unless you've got the tools to be able to compete, it's very, very sad, and supporters are very frustrated, and I understand them completely.
I think the other thing in terms of people that do defend Daniel Levy, that now that we've seen kind of the state that the squad is in, we knew it was in a bad state, but now we are knowing after the season that we've just had, really that there is really not much hiding for Daniel Levy to do now. So, you know, whatever you think of him, I think that it is a massive summer in terms of how he's going to be judged, because there's so much to do with this squad.
Do you reckon, Jay, hello, listen, we've had a discussion, do you think it's make or break for him this summer?
Yeah, I do in a way, because I mean, as much as I recognise what he's done in terms of off the pitch and the state that he's left the club in terms of we've got brilliant facilities, there is, as I said, there's a huge amount of work to do, and he's got to start the big rebuild this summer.
Yeah, and we go straight to another call, this time from John in Raynham. John, good to speak to you again. I know you want to actually talk about a little bit about everything that's going on at the club.
Hello, boys.
Hi, John, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah. I just want to say to you, the only thing you're talking about, it makes common sense to me, you know. First of all, to buy any players, first of all, we've got to sell a lot of players. However many we've got to sell, we've got to sell before we can buy players.
Yeah.
Secondly, we're not going to finish fourth. I think that's impossible. That's my opinion. I don't know what your opinion is.
Fourth from bottom, John, maybe, the way it's going. Won't go fourth from bottom, the way it's going.
Yeah. I think you're most common sense, what you're saying. But the thing is, I can't really pick a deep. I think the only one player I can pick out who's been playing well with Spurs is Assolto, is it?
Yeah, Lo Celso.
Yeah. He's been playing well with Spurs.
Yeah.
I'm fair in that. You know, it's a sad state of affairs what Spurs have got now. It's really, you know, as you said earlier on, it's going to take at least one or two seasons. I think it's like three.
You said about players getting rid of players. One player who I think we've all been very frustrated by this year is Dele Alli. Is he a player that you'd maybe consider selling in the summer?
Well, I'm disappointed with Dele Alli, because early doors when he first played with Spurs, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
And now he just seems to. I don't think he doesn't want to play with Spurs. He does, but he's no help. Well, you know, the thing is with Dele Alli, he obviously needs Kane and Sonny.
Well, that's a frustrating thing, because in this time where we've got no Kane and Son, you want someone to stand up, and you feel as though Dele has that quality, but he hasn't really.
He hasn't got the players around him.
I also think John, you'll agree. He's playing out of position. He's not a centre forward.
For sure.
He's not used to playing up top. He's used to playing just behind Harry Kane. But yeah, you do want more. But I will say, Dele, I thought his interview he gave to BT Sport after the game, you know, to come out, players, they don't ever really like interviewing on the back of that. I thought he spoke ever so well, and he spoke as one of the senior players now. He's not young anymore, Dele. He's not young anymore. Right. But I think, to go back to Jay's point, I mean, I think I would consider selling Dele if it meant we get a huge, I don't know how much money you get for him, if it meant going back into the squad that money and, you know, trying to bring in two or three players. I don't know what Dele Alli's current form gets you, though, I'll be honest, in terms of money-wise at the moment.
Yeah.
That's right. But the thing is, if we don't finish in Europe for next year, can you see staying?
I think the only way they stay, John, is because it's Mourinho in charge. And even then, you know, that's still...
Yeah, I think that is a really big topic, John. We're going to be talking a little bit about Kane. There's so many questions coming in asking about their captain. John, we really appreciate you calling. We jump straight to another caller, this time from Jordan. Jordan, you want to talk a little bit about the board meeting with the Supporters Trust?
Yeah, hi, chaps. How you doing?
Hello, Jordan. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Well,
under the circumstances.
What it was, I saw that the Supporters Trust released their meetings from their last meeting with the board. And Levy's comments around the DNA of Tottenham and the type of players they sign and wanting to sign young players and bring through young players through the academy, that to me sounds completely the polar opposite to how Jose Mourinho likes to operate as a manager or coach in terms of the players he wants in his squad. So I don't know how that will work moving forward if Jose is going to be in charge of a rebuild, because it goes against everything that he does as a manager. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, really.
I think you're right, Jordan. I think you're spot on. I mean, we have, barring the coronavirus, getting more and more serious. But at the moment, it's a silly thing to say because it is serious already in the UK here where we're recording from. And we're hoping to have Kat and Martin with us next week. We're hoping to have them in here to discuss Daniel Levy's comments to them directly. Yeah, listen, the trust comments that came out, obviously, the minutes, it's just worrying in general, isn't it? Because he said himself that he's worried that if we don't get the Champions League, then it's going to have a major impact on us in general. And again, I agree that, you know, even from the case of buying players, it's young players. You know, Spurs, they said, I think, some line, they like to create superstars.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, it's lovely hearing that, but I look at where Spurs want to be and the man they've got in charge, and Pochettino was the man to develop players and improve players. For me, Jose Mourinho likes to buy ready-made players.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's, I think, where we have struggled as well, because we haven't brought in players that have hit the ground running, and that's been our real big issue. I mean, maybe you could argue that Lo Celso has come in once he did get fit, but that's what something Spurs do need to address in terms of the players they're signing, because Ndombele, Sessegnon didn't hit the ground running, and I think that we need to kind of target those sort of players. Maybe in that sort of 25 sort of age, where you've maybe reaching a compromise in terms of a guy that's got lots of years ahead of him, but is kind of almost ready made. I think we do need to look at start bringing in players that can come in that are at their kind of near the peak of their powers, because at the moment we've kind of had too many players that are taking a while to settle.
Do you think Mourinho is letting it kind of fall out onto the field, though? Because the game midweek against Leipzig, you know, he waited till gone the 80th minute to make a first substitution, and you've got these young players on the bench that are willing to give their all for the club. And to me, it's just like his petulant arguments with Daniel Levy is spilling out onto the pitch, and it's just costing Tottenham dearly. He's not changing the formation, he's blaming everything on injuries, but he's got the personnel there. It's more so what the team does on the pitch and how they deliver on the pitch and how they're set up. But we just don't seem to be putting the players in positions that they know. And I just feel like Levy and Mourinho are in this mini tug of war of how the club should move forward.
I think it has been. I think we said last week we've kind of got a bit frustrated with the way that Jose Mourinho is maybe speaking in press conferences, that he's so negative, because it does feel as though it's kind of reflecting on the pitch at the moment, because there is a lack of confidence amongst a lot of players. I think that was very evident against RB Leipzig, because although maybe we looked as though we had set up and we were doing things right, there was still lots of, you know, poor communication within the defence. And I just think that there is kind of a lack of confidence in this squad at the moment, and it does not help with Mourinho continuing to reiterate that.
Yeah, Jordan, we really appreciate you giving us a call into the night. Always good to speak to you fans. And you can still join us, because there is still half an hour to come. You can tweet us as well, but we're still so many more listener questions. But we want to get into not only the Harry Kane saga, because there is one a little bit developing, but looking to that Man United game as well. Just quickly, though, before we do go, for you, what are you seeing amongst other fans at the minute? Because even hearing from fans tonight, some talk about the ball, Jamie, some talk about Jose, some talk about how long this has been going on. What do you make of it?
It's, unfortunately, it is incredibly negative at the moment. And in a way, you know, it is if we do maybe get this break and we're not going because of the coronavirus, you know, it's really worrying the reaction we might see in the stadium, in terms of you feel as though now the supporters are going to start turning on the club. I think Chris Cowlin did point out when he went to the RB Leipzig game, there was a lot of abuse being held at the board when they passed fans. Even Jose Mourinho was getting a lot of abuse. And unfortunately, amongst Spurs fans, it is very negative at the moment. It's frustrating because, look, as much as I understand why supporters will get frustrated, we're also, you know, we're there to support the team. And unfortunately, again, you know, we mentioned about Jose Mourinho not giving the team confidence, but unfortunately, the way that we're kind of reacting and the negativity that we're bringing at the moment, I don't think that helps as well.
Yeah, it doesn't help, but there is still half an hour to come on the Spurs Fan Show. We're going to be talking how maybe the coronavirus could affect the team and the Premier League. We're seeing it with other leagues around Europe and other sports in America as well. We're going to be talking about the game with Man United, talking about Harry Kane, and taking more of your listener questions.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs and Jamie Brown, but we are not near the last word yet, and you can still have your say on it, have your word on it. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Normally I'm outnumbered by one or two more members. Today it's just Ricky and Jamie, although at the minute it's a little bit like school. They're passing notes to each other, coating me off. I don't know what they're saying, laughing to themselves, but we are talking about Spurs, and there are still so many questions to obviously say. I want to get into a few of those now, because a lot of them asking about your captain, the man who is injured at the minute, normally leading the line, Harry Kane. Now, media's rumours swirling around, as they always do, social media. I say captain, I know it's Hugo Lloris, but you know what I mean. Yeah, captain, yeah, in essence.
Sure. Talisman.
Yeah. And the first question is from Adrian Toner, saying, rumours Harry Kane asking to leave Spurs in the summer. Can we believe this? How much is true? If so, what should the club's response be?
Well, the worrying thing with Harry Kane, and he is that sort of man that got that mentality where he wants to be the very best and he'll want to prove himself. Now, whether he sees that in terms of going to the biggest and best clubs and being able to show, look, I played for a Real Madrid, I played for a Barcelona, maybe that would be the worry. But this is going to be a huge test of his loyalty to Spurs, and whether he wants to try and win a trophy with Spurs, whether he can see Spurs winning a trophy. But as I said, it feels as though we are a long way off doing so at the moment. There is a lot of, there's going to be a lot of windows we're going to need to kind of rebuild this team. So I think it'll be a really, really difficult decision for him this summer, in terms of, does he want to stick around and see if he can win something with Spurs?
I'm going to be honest and say this, and this might not go down too well. I would not begrudge him if he decided to leave it in the season.
Yeah, but no, yeah.
I wouldn't. I think for the amount of years he's given to Tottenham, the service, the way he's performed for us. You know, the only thing he would say about Kane, again, it's one of those things where, it sounds mad again, I feel crazy saying this, do you sell the poster boy of the football club to bring in a lot of money? Because Harry, let's be honest about it, Harry in the last 3 or 4 years, he has had a lot of these injuries that come up and it leaves him out of the squad for a long time. Can you afford to sell Harry Kane? Mm. My biggest worry is, do I trust this current board to replace Harry Kane adequately?
No.
And I don't. And that's my biggest worry. If you said to me that I could put Liverpool's owners in with their recruitment structure, their smart policy, or Leicester's with their smart policy, I'd feel okay. Maybe, as crazy as it sounds, maybe I would consider selling Harry Kane. And bring in another striker in that I believe could make a difference. But I just don't know, because of our current board, whether I could believe and trust them on that.
I don't want to keep talking about Harry Kane leaving. Hopefully, if we can talk about him staying.
Yeah.
I think the biggest, most important thing, and I think it's been a lot of people have said, of course, you know, you can't get in. Who's going to come and sit on the bench instead of Harry Kane? Now, the way that Harry Kane's body is, and we've seen with the number of injuries he picks up, I think that he needs a guy that's going to be able to come in and give him those a chance to rest. I think that we need to go and look at signing a strong striker, like what Manchester City have in terms of Sergio Aguero and Gabriel Jesus. I think that we need I wasn't sure how strong in terms of how important it was that we got that second striker, but now it kind of, with the issues that we've seen Harry Kane getting, because he's constantly having a play, I think it's really important that we go and get a really strong second striker in the
summer. See, when you say second striker, for me, what I want to see Tottenham do this summer is actually go and get someone that genuinely can compete with Kane and actually feels that when he's at the top of his game, he's good enough to be better than Kane. Yeah. And that might sound mad, because Harry Kane is definitely up there, for me, one of the best strikers in the world. But you want the player coming into Tottenham to genuinely believe in his heart of hearts that he could replace Kane and he can be better than Harry Kane.
Yeah. But I don't think Harry Kane's going to be able to play 90 minutes for twice a week, every week.
Well, he can't. We've seen it, haven't we, Jay? We've seen it now. The amount of injuries, it's catching him up now.
Exactly. And that's where I think I wasn't sure. And as I said, I wasn't sure how pressing that issue was in getting that second striker. But it does feel really important now with another season of missing Harry Kane for a number of matches. I think that's a big issue in the summer.
Yeah, a big issue in the summer. Rumours swirling around. We won't talk about it too much. I know, Ricky, you're the transfer guru, but Jamie, give me a look there, Sam. Let's not talk about Harry Kane.
Harry Kane to stay. Of course you want Harry Kane to stay. We all do. But at the same time, I think for what he's given to us, I don't think anyone could be on his back or begrudge him now. I honestly think he's got to that point now where you look at Tottenham, we've both sit here and said this evening that for us, it's going to need two or three windows minimum. And that's before, if Spurs can get back into the Champions League. We're so far off it now.
Yeah, so far off it. And we're going straight to another caller. And this time it is new regular. It is Stelios. Stelios, always good to speak to you. Thanks for joining us tonight. I know you want to talk a little bit about what you think the club need to do in the summer. And what do you make of the Harry Kane rumours at the minute?
Hi, lads. You all right?
Hey,
good,
Stel.
Thank you.
I had to leave my call till late. Because if I called up early, I was honestly going to lose the plot on the phone. And I thought, let me let you guys talk.
I thought you'd be happy, though. I thought you'd be happy, Stel. We've really discussed the ball tonight. I thought you would agree with those points.
Oh, mate, I'm very happy with what you guys are saying and what's being said on social media. Regarding the thing about Kane, selling him would be a disaster. Because when Liverpool sold Coutinho to bring in goalie and a centre-back. Yeah. Selling Kane to bring in another striker is madness. Yeah. You know, they sold a player that they could, you know, they had other midfielders available at the time. They sold a midfielder to get two other positions. We're selling one position to do what with that money? And that's what worries me. And Kane isn't, no disrespect to Coutinho, Kane is our top most influential player in the club.
The worry for me still is, you know, can we keep him fit for how many more years to come? That's my only biggest worry. I want to see Harry Kane stay here. I would never want to consider selling him, but my biggest worry is his fitness.
Well, Ricky, the question you've got to ask yourself is, all of us need to basically ask ourselves, why is he always injured?
Well, because he's not got no competition. Yep.
Correct.
Mm. Yeah.
Same. Why do you think Steve Bergwijn just got injured?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's only just been there.
Agreed.
He came in and suddenly every week, 90 minutes, you're starting. From a guy playing once a week in Holland, he's playing two, three times a week in England.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, I'm really happy with everything that's happening now, because it's exposing the board, it's exposing Levy, and it's going to get more toxic. I've said it before. And the more and more the players are becoming fed up, the more Mourinho's kind of being called out and having to justify things and saying things that he shouldn't say, the more that puts Levy's decision to hire him into doubt. And this summer, like Jay kind of said, this is it for Levy. You know, if he doesn't put down the money this summer that we need, and if he can't keep hold of the best players and keep Mourinho happy, I just feel this fan base is going to turn big time, because I've never seen that.
Well, he is, though, isn't it, Stel? It's getting quite poisonous now.
I know. Yeah. I know. But you know, in some ways, Ricky, though, this is what we have to go through, though. It's sad it's come to this, but this is kind of what we have to go through to actually get owners to put the first team as their priority, not, you know, point number three or four on their list of priorities for the club. But I just wanted to call up. The reason I did call up, though, is because I wanted to say what I think has to do in the summer. It's four things. Number one, they've got to keep the best players. They've got to. That, for me, that is, if you don't keep those
best players, then I don't know where we go.
What about Dele Alli? What about Dele Alli is one that we've discussed as maybe a guy that we might try and move on. Is he a guy that you'd look to, you'd keep in the squad?
See, Dele Alli for me is like Harry Winks and like Tanganga, those kind of players.
Mm.
Unless you play them in their right position,
yeah, I agree. Yeah,
they're prone to being exposed for not looking good in certain games.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and until we have the squad big enough so that we can play players in their strongest positions, they're going to get a rough ride. And I think Dele Alli is one of the players that suffered because of that for a couple of years now. The second thing I'd do after keeping the best players is you've got to get rid of the shit. You have to, man. There's enough players in that team now that have, like Serge Aurier, it's unacceptable Spurs have kept him and got rid of Trippier. I mean, it's bonkers, isn't it? Mm. Not just him. There's quite a few. Secondly, we have got to recruit the right players that we need. Mm-hmm. Not what we've... You know, January was a perfect example. We so needed a striker. Ricky Sachs even said it. I'm so worried we haven't bought a...
Who's that idiot?
Yeah, sorry.
No worries, mate.
Listen, how many of us agree with you, Ricky? You said...
Not many.
I can't.
There's not many.
Listen, I did. A lot of
Thanks,
Spurs
Del.
Fans did.
Thanks, mate.
You know, whether they called a show up or not, everyone knew as soon as we didn't buy a striker in January, we were so exposed to what has happened now.
Mm.
So we've got to buy the right players that we need. And
Still,
finally,
can I ask you very quickly, before you give us that final point, very quickly, how important for you is the sporting director philosophy? Would that be something you want to see come in quickly?
I want the manager to be in control of who he wants and who he doesn't want.
Still, me and you know, with Daniel Levy there, how realistic is that to say?
Well, then Daniel Levy isn't the man for the club because he will never, ever, ever be backing the manager.
Yeah.
You know, you've read the recent articles about Paul Mitchell at Leipzig. He basically sourced most of the players that they've got at Leipzig. I've never heard of any of those Leipzig players except for Pimenkano and Timo Werner. I've never heard of any of those players. They absolutely popped us off the park.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to be listening to the people that know, and that is either a top scout or the manager.
Still, you've got me hanging on a strings here. I want to know this fourth point. I'm writing a letter up to Levy as we speak. What's his fourth point?
Well, the fourth point is we have to change the way we play completely.
Wait, I'm just getting this in capitals. Go on.
I don't believe Jose Mourinho is the man for that, and I'm being honest with you. He's had plenty of opportunity, with or without the players that he's got at his disposal, to show us how can we go about this game. What method of or system can we go with that creates enough attacking opportunities that can get us goal scoring chances? I haven't seen a thing. So for me, unless he's going to miraculously change over the summer, I don't believe he's the guy, because he's not a rebuild guy. He's not a... Poch would have been the perfect man. I can't believe what we've done.
I know. It is crazy. And you're saying he's not a rebuild guy. That is maybe some
Del,
of the
just
concerns.
Just remember, Del, you know, with Poch, at the very, very end, just like I make this point, you know, I think he offered his resignation, Poch, didn't he, at that Champions League, before the Champions League final. We all wanted it to work, but even after that Sheffield United game, it was always going to be tricky.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, that two-year transfer ban that we're now paying the price for, how disheartened must he have become given what he put into the club, you know? So, listen, Poch has gone. I'd love him to come back. Maybe he will. You never know. Anything's possible. But I do believe that the way we play does upset some of the players as well. Hmm. You know, don't forget we've got some technical masters in this team.
And some good youngsters, still. You've got some good youngsters. It does bode well for the future. Stelios, we really appreciate you still calling in, giving us a four-point plan. And always good to hear from Stelios. So much insight into the team. Well, we are going to be looking at that Man United game next and actually talking about the coronavirus, how it can affect the side in the Premier League, even breaking news coming into the studio, what is going on at the minute.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I nearly forgot my own name. I have no control in this studio. I'm joined with Ricky Sachs and Jamie Brand from The Last Word on Spurs. We are talking, obviously, the game on the weekend against Man United, Jose's return, but slightly more serious matters going on, not just in football or in sport, in the world at the minute. The coronavirus breaking news even into the studio from the tomorrow. If you feel symptoms, you need to be at home for 7 days, no matter how mild that is. We're seeing events, Jamie, and I know you follow a little bit of American sport as well. The NBA being called off, the NFL was shutting down, the MLS is shut down, Serie A is off, La Liga is shutting down for 2 weeks. The Premier League have been a little bit behind this. What do you make of the whole situation, I mean, from a Tottenham perspective and everything else that's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, firstly, this is a real, real sad state of events we find ourselves in. Mm. It's scary because we don't know what we're facing.
It's uncharted territory, really, isn't it?
It's uncharted territory because we don't know how to treat it. That's the first thing. And people are dying. So, you know, that is the most scariest thing in the world. So scary. And again, I would just reiterate what you're saying, Chaz. If you feel in any way you're ill or obviously the symptoms, you need to go and get yourself checked out immediately and, you know, self-isolate as we've seen. From a football perspective, if they wrote off the season now, I'd be the most happiest person in the world. Honestly, if we could just press reset and this season never happened, I would take that. I would leave it. That'd be great.
It is a massive shock, though, that games do sound like they're going to go ahead with fans as well. And for me, you know, I'll be going on the weekend, but it is worrying that obviously there's all this about. Because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people there.
The argument is that we might play better behind closed doors.
Well, who knows? But, I mean, we're seeing a case of even this week, Spurs going out to Germany, fans are there, and yet Rangers play tonight in Germany, fans aren't there. So a really different situation. Wolves wanted their game postponed, and we're seeing fans can't be in the stadium, yet fans are travelling out, you know, like they did to Germany. They're interacting with fans, they're socialising with fans, still at risk. And then we're seeing players not being able to shake hands and then challenge each other on a pitch for 90 minutes.
You've got players that are breathing over each other for 90 minutes that are doing everything but shaking hands. I just don't know.
It does feel like weird at the moment because obviously Madrid is an area that's been quite badly affected, and of course there was a lot of them travelled over to England yesterday for the Liverpool
Real Madrid
game.
Madrid players are being tested, aren't they?
Well,
currently?
There's that, but we know it's an area. It's an area that was affected, so that was an odd decision. But there has been a lot of maybe questionable decisions. Of course, the Arsenal game versus Manchester City was one that was postponed, that was called off.
We know some of the Leicester players have also now apparently got symptoms.
Well, the worry is, I mean, if the couple of players get symptoms or they test positive, do they postpone the game? We're without our captain, we're without our keeper. How many have to drop out for the game to be postponed? What's going on?
It feels as though we are prioritising the games going ahead rather than safety.
Than other leagues, though. Serie A, La Liga, all off.
That does worry us. I think that we should be worried the fact that countries seem to be a bit more ahead of the game.
To be fair, though, they are probably more ahead of the disease than we are currently, but... It is worrying because it is a big issue in this country. We've seen the number of cases have risen significantly. So it does feel as though there is a bit of a case. We are just trying to get these games played, and there isn't really a huge amount of consideration of the safety.
Yeah, okay. And obviously we're keeping it Tottenham, talking of Tottenham, but even here, and maybe, you know, UEFA wanting to push the Euros back to next 2021 so the games can play on into the summer. We just don't know where this season will end, Ricky.
No, but also it makes me laugh. Well, it doesn't make me laugh, but the fact that they're now going to suspend the Champions League and Europa League games, it's a shame they couldn't make a decision last week. We could still have been in it, but I know obviously it was still been a difficult tie.
Well,
but, you know, at the same time, I think, like Jay says, the most important thing is the health and safety of the people. And if that's going to be at risk because of playing a football game, for me, listen, it's ridiculous. You know, health and safety is the most important thing in life.
I hope that the Euros would get pushed back because obviously we're going to see a lot of football delayed, and we want all the seasons to finish.
Jamie, we don't want this one coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, obviously Liverpool, you feel as though, even as a Spurs fan, I do have a lot of admiration for what they have done this season. So you kind of want to see them. I know a lot of people are going to say, "What on earth are you talking about?"
I think they
deserve, but you want to see the season end, and of course, if you are having the Euros, and that's going
to
be
today,
I would love nothing better than this season to be a write-up of Liverpool for all those games they've played to not get the title. Would be brilliant.
Yeah, and it even sounds strange to say now we're talking about how serious this virus is, all the, you know, what's going on around the world, and now we're going, let's talk about a game with Man United on the weekend. It's really hard to obviously segue that over and go, what do we think the selection will be on the weekend? But Ricky, what do you think the selection will be on the weekend?
So as far as we know Ben Davies is back in training. Mm-hmm. Davinson Sanchez is back in contention. Yeah. We've seen Sissoko, I think, commence training as well.
Yeah, he's back with the group.
We don't think he's going to be fit. But, I mean, again, this is going to be another test for Jose Mourinho. He's playing against his old club. Well, let's be honest about it. Up at Old Trafford, you know, he got... I think for me, it was a tactical great display from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and he really did a number on Mourinho. Yeah. And we've asked this question before with Mourinho. We've seen it. Chelsea, we've been beaten by them twice this season. Of course, we got the result against Man City. But apart from that, you know, there may still be a couple of question marks. How will Mourinho approach this game? I don't know. I think Spurs fans in general, for me, they're not going to accept, and this is the key thing, they're not going to accept sitting at home against Man United with a bank of 10. It's just not going to happen. And I understand it's difficult because of the players he's got available to him and he hasn't got available to him. Mm. But I think at the same time, we are going to have to show some kind of attacking intent. We are the home side. We are Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. We're at our home. And we need to win this game. That's the key thing here. If the game goes ahead, Spurs do need to win it to stand any chance. And I know I'm holding and hoping of top four. I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
But Spurs need to win their football matches and see where it takes them.
Yeah, and obviously Man United with loads of momentum at the minute actually have really turned the corner under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Winning tonight 5-0, as you said, in the Europa League, Jamie. Obviously, maybe that can play a small part, even though Tottenham played this week. What do you make of this new improved United side and going up against them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Bruno Fernandes has come in and done a fantastic job. So it's
what
really
signing he's been for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. We were linked with him, was we? Was Spurs ever linked with him?
So it's going to be difficult seeing him come to the stadium. Of course, Martial playing very well at the moment. So they are obviously a side that has really had an upturn in form. And, you know, it's difficult to see that with Spurs at the moment. There is a lot of uncertainty amongst the team that he'll select. It doesn't really feel as though anyone knows what our strongest 11 is, even though maybe we are limited in terms of the options that we do have. But yeah, as I said, I think the big issue for Spurs, there does seem to be a lack of confidence and maybe understanding between each other. I think that we have done a lot of kind of changing of the system that we've played, and that hasn't really helped. And you just hope that Mourinho can kind of find a settled formation, and maybe, but it's difficult to see in terms of trying to build the confidence up again.
Yeah, build the confidence up. It is at home. It kind of feels like a massive watershed moment, really, in the season after what's not just because of what's gone on, but obviously in that European aim, in that top four race, could be top five, we still don't know. The weekend is massive without trying to overstate it, Ricky.
Yeah, of course it has been. Listen, we've sat here for, within the space of 3 weeks, we've gone out of two competitions, and the top four now looks very, very highly unlikely. Even top five, Chaz, even if that fifth spot comes available,
not highly unlikely. If they, I mean, they're still in the race. They're just, I think it's the performances that make you feel like that.
It does, and it's because, as Jay said, the lack of confidence in the team. I don't think anybody knows the job they're doing. And again, I totally understand. You know, he's got a lot of injuries to cope with. I get that. I sympathise with that. But at the same time, you've got to give confidence to players. You know, the worrying thing for me was that Ndombele, for example, he came and dug him out. I understand the reasons why he dug him out. I totally get that. That can sometimes work. We've seen it work in the past with him when he's done it in the past with Joe Cole, Frank Lampard, John Terry. I don't know if Tongi Ndombele is that kind of character that can handle that kind of criticism and come back. And the worrying thing for me was that when he gave him the criticism, I thought, okay, maybe we'll give him a start in the next game to kind of prove himself. He didn't start him.
Yeah.
And that's where it worries me that, you know, is Ndombele going to be able to play against Man United? Is he not going to be able to play? Is he fit? Is he not fit? And the fitness thing is obviously his bag. That's Ndombele. He's got to sort that out. He's coming on a big fee. You know, he's been here since June. He has to get his fitness in order. But it does worry me in terms of the team we're going to put out and the confidence of the players. And it's at home. And the fans, as we know, any, you know, passes that go astray, Jay, you know it's going to be a difficult atmosphere.
Yeah, and that is another thing that I'm worried about. I think that, you know, that as we've said, we've had a really difficult week in terms of the draw with Burnley, going out the FA Cup, going out the Champions League. So there is... It will be a very negative atmosphere, unfortunately, on the weekend. And unfortunately, we'll have to see how it goes in terms of on the pitch.
Have to see how it goes then. How will it go for you two? Ricky, we'll start with you. How will the game play out and your score prediction?
So this is me being brave and believing. I'm going to go for 1-1.
1-1?
Yeah, and that's me believing and praying. I think United are in really good form now under Solskjaer. They found their gear. I think Spurs are going to be tired and groggy from what was a difficult game in the week up at RB Leipzig. He's then got to pick pretty much the same kind of team. Maybe a couple of changes potentially Davinson Sanchez coming in. But I think the players are so low on confidence. It's, again, a home game where we don't seem confident at home. We need the supporters. The supporters at the moment, as you can see, is in disarray. I see us getting a draw. Of course, I want to sit here and say I win. But again, I'm always going to say on these shows now, I'm going to be realistic. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say I reckon it'll be 1-1.
Obviously, Spurs want the points. They're chasing that race and they are at home. But with the form Man United are in and they're still a big team and you don't want to drop, you don't want to lose, you're happy with a point?
No, of course I'm not.
Massively.
Well, a point's not good enough,
really?
Is it?
Against Man United at home, I think in the...
Ricky went down and Jay went massively.
Well, Jay, is a point good enough for where we are now?
Well, I would take a point.
In the scheme of the top four?
In the state we're in, I think you'd have to take a point against Manchester United.
But I don't think a point's good enough, though, is it?
No, it's not good enough in the terms of the race when you're trying to make up that ground and state your case. But you've not lost the game, you've stopped Man United's run.
No, but at the same time, it's not a Sir Alex Ferguson Man United. It's not, United are beatable.
But this is a Jose Mourinho Tottenham Hotspur are playing absolutely, poorly at the moment. They just don't really.
It's at the same time, will a point be good enough? I don't think a point would be good enough, but, you know.
All right, Ricky Sanna, point won't be good enough. Jamie, you were straight in and said massively. So for you, a point good enough, and how will it play out in your score prediction?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to go for a defeat. I do think it'll be 2-1 to Manchester United.
I know, sorry. That's unbelievable.
That's
dummy, that is.
You were
there for a win, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, after that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, sorry to disappoint you.
But we've still got the foundations, though. We've still got the stadium. We've still got the training ground.
Still got the foundations. Still got the training ground. We will be here as we always are next week. The good, the bad, the ugly. Will a point be enough? Jamie's going for a defeat, but Ricky said 1-1 on the weekend. Who knows? The Spurs Fan Show with Ricky Sachs and Jamie Brand is back next Thursday.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.